So large law firm and a little bit of a background. So again, dating myself, I enrolled in 1994. At that point in time when I enrolled, one of the main reasons I chose Tulane was because back then they had an assistant dean of diversity. And it's really amazing that that institution made the leadership decision to invest in a position of that level and invest in further diversifying the profession. And it had an impact. It had an impact on me. And I promised to tie it to the large law firm effort. So I was a beneficiary of diversity programs similar to the scholarship that we just heard about. So you can devote resources and we can make an impact on this. So where do I find myself now after 6 years of practice and 20 plus years in the DEI space as a director and professional and assistant dean and now chief? I can tell you certain things. We've made progress, but very slowly, painfully slow, the progress that we have made. What has moved the needle the most? There's no shortcut. That's the bad news. It requires intentional effort from every single member of the profession, every single lawyer, every single general counsel, every honorable member of a bench. And collectively, when we do that, we can achieve progress. Simpson Thacher has 11 offices, over 1,200 lawyers. Five of those offices are in the U.S. The comments that I will be making will also be limited to the U.S. efforts, not the global DEI efforts. That's another CLE for a future date and time. But in the U.S., what can you do? One, pipeline efforts. The scholarship is a good indication. We just changed the landscape, and I don't use the word disruptor because I have wishy-washy feelings about that term. But last year, we rolled out a scholarship for our second-year diversity fellows, and it was accompanied by $50,000 for each of the recipients of the scholarship. That those funds were in addition to the summer compensation at a large law firm. So it's a sizable, meaningful investment. What happened? Other firms follow. Particularly large firms, our competitors, increased their scholarships and or created diversity scholarships. We also increased our 1L hiring, and that's the first opportunity. That's not really a business decision that makes us money, right? It really is an investment on talent, making sure that we're getting the best talent from law schools, but also that ultimately the profession is going to be more diversified. On the retention and development front, which is the second bucket, what's working the most? Mentoring programs, formal programs are okay, but mixed results. If you have one, great. If you don't have one, you should build it, but feel free to reach out. There are things that you can do to make them effective. They're necessary. I think what is even more important is the sponsorship element. We just launched a very sizable investment to create a formal sponsorship program so that high-performing talent at Simpson Thacher can connect with very leveraged high-level partners who can then promote and advocate on behalf of those individuals. So what it does is we've now created a bridge from the mentoring program into a sponsorship program. I know this is a large scale, and some of you are not in the same large size Wall Street firm, but nothing prevents you from doing something at the scale that is right for you, i.e. if you have 10 lawyers in your office and three of them are women and some are from underrepresented groups, you need to be intentional of the time that you're investing in their development and progression. Tip number one, I think most of us here, unless you're at the bench, you're billing your time. Time is our commodity. That's how we measure and grow our businesses. So track how much of your time are you devoting to underrepresented talent. If you don't have the time to do it and you have an assistant or a paralegal, ask them to help you track that time. So in other words, if you were billing 60 hours, ask yourself, add another column there and say, how many of those 60 hours were devoted to or engaged in women, people of color, or any other group that you're monitoring? Because we know we're counting our money, our time is money, and if you equate that to then your talent, you will be surprised on how much time of your time you're devoting to the growth of your talent in your organization. The final thing I'll say is on the culture itself, what is working? A, having the me's at the right tables. When I started, I was only a handful, less than five of us in the law school side with diversity titles at the assistant dean. Fast forward, it is far more common. Fast forward, the likes of me, almost every major law firm now has either a director or a chief, or in my case, both. So we have a whole unit devoted to this talent. So we need that infrastructure in order to be able to have conversations with the executive committees, with the GCs, our clients, and align DEI efforts internally from the firm and externally with the stakeholders, be it the judiciary, the law schools, and certainly our clients. I'll pause there, Bruce, and that's a super high level, 30,000 feet. We can land the plane later.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Jessica, what, do you have any observations from the time that you spent in private practice on this?
Sure. I going back 20 years, 2002 is when I started practicing, and I do recall there were clients. One, you know, local Houston client that was very large that was really paving the way for